Hear the reading for Ash Wednesday. Recorded in the second chapter of Joel, verses 12 through 14. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain of offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This day is called Ash Wednesday. It's the first day of Lent. The ashes referred to in the name of this day are rooted in the believer's repentance and sorrow, as we hear it described in Lamentations, he has covered me with ashes. Or as Jesus says in Matthew 11, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And indeed, where there is true repentance, heartfelt confession of sin, the symbol of ashes on the forehead, and the self-denial of fasting or refraining from food is certainly a good and spiritual exercise. But the outward appearance is not to be confused with the repentance. And so he also says in prophecy of Hosea, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. In the well-known Psalm 51, David says the same thing. Thou desirest not sacrifice. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And that is the only sacrifice that I have to offer to my God. That is my broken and sorrowful heart. Our lesson today from the prophecy of Isaiah is just such a call to true inward repentance. He does not rule out or even prohibit outward signs of repentance, such as fasting and weeping and mourning. In fact, the repentance that Joel speaks of does have an outward form. But it is not the outward act by which God is satisfied. The heart of repentance is inward. Rend, tear apart your heart and not your garment, the prophet says. The Pharisaical hypocrisy of those who have made sacrifices, which are pleasing mostly to themselves, without including themselves in among the sinners in need of true divine righteousness and forgiveness, they need no Savior, and they cannot understand true repentance. But those who have been convicted, those who stand before God's holy law as weak, helpless, condemned sinners, they are the ones that Jesus calls to this discipleship of repentance. Jesus does not call people who think that they can do something for him or for themselves to deserve his love. He does not call those who have sacrifices to offer him, but he calls those who receive his forgiveness, who can receive his forgiveness, who throw themselves on his mercy. This God who calls us to repentance is not the vengeful, cruel God of nature, not the God glorified by the terror of men's consciences. This God who was announced by Joel is a gracious and merciful God. This God, as Joel describes him, is slow to anger and does not want harm to come to his creatures. And so the call goes out to his wayward people, people who turn their back on him, people who abuse his holy name, people who defile the bodies that he has created for them, and people who despise the souls he has created in them. The repentance that he calls them to is a turning away from themselves and a turning again to him who is their God. This repentance means that we acknowledge this Lord as the source of all goodness and all righteousness. It is a repentance which acknowledges that I am a beggar and that I have absolutely nothing to offer to this God, that I stand before him, that I lay prostrate before him, absolutely bare, devoid of any gift at all to give him, to satisfy him. Repentance does not mean that I am merely sorry that I got caught. Repentance is not a self-preserving change of heart in order to avoid the fires of hell or any other discomforts. This repentance to which your God calls you is a sorrow that acknowledges that only he is God, and only he can make you whole. He offers you his loving grace, even though you don't have anything to offer to him. The God of grace and mercy that Joel holds up before us is a God who has something, much, to give. He gives to us his Son as the sacrifice for us. He gives to us the glorious cross where his grace is revealed and poured out as his blood. And he gives to us everything that he demands of us. Where he demands righteousness from us, he gives us the righteousness of his very own Son. Where he demands suffering from us, he gives us the suffering of his Son. And then he calls us righteous and perfect as his Son is righteous and perfect. And finally, where he demands from us repentance and faith, he gives us that very repentant heart and believing heart to believe his promise. And in that, his word to us is, though your sins be as scarlet, they are white as snow. You, a sinner, a righteous, holy saint. Lent may be a special season of repentance, but all the days of our lives are to be lived under the repentance of God's kingdom. As we begin our march now toward the cross of our Savior's suffering, we lift up our hearts to the one who promises not to despise the contrite heart.